Miriam, thanks for joining me for another segment in our series on Let's Talk About
It. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to speak to you specifically because this is a female issue-ish, kind of. But apparently, recent statistics say that almost a quarter of American women are depressed and are on antidepressants. And this statistic brings up a lot for me as someone who has a lot of strong feelings about this, certainly when we come to pharmaceuticals. But I want to talk about this in a more global and broad realm. I don't want to just be like, I hate pharma, which everyone knows I hate pharma, and yeah. They're probably tired of hearing it. Yeah. Hello, have we met? And I have my reasons, and I hope that they can be heard when I say this. I know people get real defensive. We've talked about this, you and I, like independently, and then also on the podcast a bit, that I really want what's best for everyone. I think that's my heart. That's how we're called to love each other and to believe the best in each other and believe in hope and empowerment. And I find the model of you feel a certain type of way, so it must be a chemical imbalance, is A, not true. And there's tons of research, and I will cite some of these studies in the show notes so people can fact check if they want to, which they should. And B, it's very disempowering to adhere to an identity that says, I am depressed. I will always be depressed, and my brain is broken, therefore I need medication for the rest of my life. Now, pharma's really happy about that because you're a lifelong customer. But I wanted to bring you in as another woman. Let's talk about what's going on. Because here's my premise, and I want you to respond to this. I think that if we have almost a quarter of women in our culture depressed, then this is not an individual reality per se. There's something happening in our culture, in our way of living, in our lifestyle, in how we do life that's not working for a quarter of us. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, when you first, I might stray off a little bit, but I'll try to come back to what you asked me specifically.
Do it.
Yeah, when you first asked me, you know, said, I want to talk about this. I was a little hesitant, you know, with you. I was like, I don't know, because I just don't feel, you know, I'm clearly no expert on this. I have no, you know, medical background, you know, all this. I haven't dealt with these kind of things personally. So I just was like, I don't know. And then you said, well, I really want to talk about, you know, why this is happening so much, why women, you know, are so depressed, or, you know, so then I was like, oh, okay, I can definitely, you know, share my opinions and thoughts on that for sure. So yeah, when you give those statistics, it really makes me really sad because, and again, I'm sure there are different degrees, different reasons, and people will say like, well, you never had this happen, or doesn't happen to you, and there's a chemical, you know. Okay, I'm not arguing any of that at the moment, but, you know, I do think it's sad that it's happening, or so many women think it's happening, and I just think that it's probably, and this is just, I guess, probably happening at younger ages now, and I think that sometimes it can be where, you know, probably maybe someone's feeling, because now it's like the big thing is like, hey, just, it is, we have this, label these things, and you are, this is your identity, you know, you have this. So I think that especially younger and younger, it's like if they feel a certain way because of a certain thing or time in their life or event or something, or they just are feeling, then people are very quick to say, okay, I feel down about this, or I feel down or whatever, so I have XYZ, or I feel nervous about this, so I have XYZ. And so I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm sure someone's gonna say, I really do, you know, that's not what I'm saying, but I think it's just really fast. People are really fast to, women are really fast to say, oh, I have this, instead of maybe saying, and young girls especially, because they hear this a lot and they see it on social media, and it's like they're very empowered now if they come out and say, I have, you know, anxiety, I have depression, whatever. And it might just be, just again, what we are doing here is just wanting people to maybe look at things from a different point of view. And if you say at the end of the, you know, you guys are nuts, you don't know what you're talking about, that's okay. But at least, like, look at it, look at your research. But could it possibly be that, is there something that happened that you're sad about? And it's okay.
Right.
It's okay to be sad. That's a normal human feeling. But doesn't mean you're depressed or you have this whole thing. And so maybe it's just going to be for a time that you're sad, and that's all right. And maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe there are some other things you can do, some alternatives. Maybe it's normal because certain things are happening. Like, everybody gets sad sometimes. But it's
not, well, unless you're a robot.
I always told my girls, like, it's fine to feel sad. You don't have to pretend or be like, everything's okay all the time, you know,
right.
But it's what you do with it. So be sad if it's legit, you know, it's okay. But then how are you going to kind of take, I want them to be in control. So how are you going to be in control of those feelings then moving forward?
Yeah, I so resonate with that. And to your point, unless we're a robot, we're human. We are meant to feel the full spectrum of emotions. And I have never met one person who says, I'm depressed, who hasn't had a very good reason.
Yeah.
Like, I've never, like, when I've been depressed, and I think I've had seasons of depression, and that's even hard for me to admit because I'm like, no, I'm going to empower. But listen, you, why? Because I was dating someone for 2 years and then broke up with them.
Right. Of course,
they
you're
going to
feel
me.
Depressed. Yeah.
What? Why wouldn't I? It's called grieving. And I want to say this too, for folks who don't know the ins and outs. Like you said, you are a woman who's not done all the research in psychology that I have. So, but you have a knowledge of life and what we should expect to experience when we go through pain and loss and suffering, which is part of life. So to me, it's so dehumanizing and so cruel actually to say, oh, what you're feeling? There's no reason for that. Right. That's just a chemical imbalance. I think that's the cruelest thing to say to someone who has a legitimate reason to grieve. And just to that point, the most recent iteration of the DSM-5, which is the revised version now, the DSM is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. So it's basically a psychiatrist, a psychologist going to look through this book to diagnose, to figure out what the client in front of them has. This thing changes every couple years. It's kind of like the wind. It changes with the times and with the current expectations or norms. And in fact, they removed in the major depressive episode diagnosis, they removed the grieving clause, which means there was a long time that if you had just lost it, gone through a divorce, lost someone through death, loss of any kind, you will grieve that loss. It was understood you would grieve that loss, and you would not be diagnosed with major depression if you had just recently experienced the loss of your parent or your child, God forbid, or your spouse. You would never be given a label of you are depressed because it's like, no, you are a human being with a natural, reasonable response to having lost someone dear to you. It's called grief. We will not pathologize grief. However, in the most recent iteration, they've removed that clause. So if you go to the doctor, whether it's your GP or whether it's your psychiatrist or psychologist, and you say, yeah, I'm depressed. And they say, oh, what's going on in your life? You're like, oh yeah, my father passed away 2 weeks ago. They could still diagnose you with major depression and give you a pharmaceutical.
Right.
For the totally human experience of grieving. I find that antithetical to the human experience, A, and actually aggressively hostile to what it means to be a human being.
Yeah. I mean, I lost my mom. It's been 21 years and I was 5 months pregnant, you know, and with my first child. And so, I mean, there's a lot of different things going on in your body, you know, in my body and all that chemically. Yes. And of course, sad. And it's been 21 years and there are still like many days where I'll still cry about it. Now I'm not like having a, you know, breakdown all the time, you know, but something will remind me of her. We'll talk about her. We'll say something. And sometimes I'm laughing about a funny story about it. And sometimes I get choked up like out of nowhere, you know?
Yes.
And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, or I just see something or I see someone like when I'm somewhere, you know, and it kind of, there's something that there's a memory that's strong, but I'm not like that. That's, I still think that's very normal. You know, I still think that's very normal.
It is. It's just a normal response to how dear and wonderful she was and how much she meant to you. Why would you ever want to lose that? Why would you want to take a pill and cover that up, Mary?
No, I
would
dishonor.
No, I know you don't.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like, and sometimes like I said, I can choke up about it and sometimes I can laugh about, you know, but again, I'm not like, you know, I'm functioning, you know, ever since it happened, you know, I'm not just like, you know, staying in bed. I'm like, have had a very, you know, well-functioning life, you know, since it happened. But yes, I think it's totally normal to have all of those emotions and at any time. And like you said, why would you cover it up? And I don't want to cover it up because when I'm sad about it, like, that's okay, because I'm still thinking about her. And then I can, you know, also kind of turn it around to something happy about her.
And it honors her that pain remains. And again, it doesn't overwhelm you, because you also honor her by going, what would my mom want me to do? She'd want me to move on. And not, I don't want to say move on. Like, that sounds a little callous. I mean, she would want me to continue moving forward and honoring her by being as dear a mom as she was to me, to be that to my kids. And if you were consumed with the grief to where you couldn't get out of bed, like you said, it would not be honoring your children. So you honor her legacy by living every day to the fullest, because that's how she lived.
Right.
So 100%. That kind of nuance to grief is completely dismissed now. And that makes me really sad as someone who's also lost a parent. Mm-hmm. And I feel that when we come at this, and we've talked about it, there's a lot of pushback in my community. When I was active on Instagram, which I may be again, who knows, we'll see what God wants me to do. But when I would speak to this, people get very defensive. Well, you don't understand. And I'm not saying that depression isn't real. I'm not saying that at all. We're not saying that. We're not saying that these feelings aren't legitimate. Right. We're saying that actually the medical model delegitimizes the humanity of what it feels, what it means to feel a deep, deep pain and sorrow and grief.
And everybody's different, and we know that. So everybody does respond to things differently and handle things differently, 100%. Some people are just wired, you know, maybe a stronger kind of person. Someone's more emotional, less, all of those things. So there isn't like a one size fits all. Here's how you should react to certain things that happen. And I mean, that's, neither one of us are ever going to think that. And it's, you know, you're going to grieve for, you know, we've been talking about that in your own way, and it's going to affect you differently than maybe, you know, someone else. But like you said, why is that? We're not saying it's not real, but you're saying actually the medical community is.
Yeah. They're saying it's just your broken brain with your neurotransmitters all screwed up. We want to take a moment to say a quick thank you to our community for supporting our sponsor, The Wellness Company. We've been so thrilled to partner with their team of esteemed medical professionals, including Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Harvey Risch, Dr. Drew Pinsky, and other truth-seeking doctors we can trust. Many of us are feeling some post-pandemic uncertainty, which makes perfect sense because now they're talking about this disease X that's supposedly about to break out at any time. But we can take charge of our health and prepare ourselves for natural disasters or man-made threats with the Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. It's the ultimate safeguard for your family. The kit includes vital medications like ivermectin, amoxicillin, and Z-Pak, with a comprehensive guidebook researched and written by the company's chief medical board. Visit twc.health/lovelife and use promo code LOVELIFE for an exclusive 15% discount. That's twc.health/lovelife and promo code LOVELIFE, all one word, for 15% off your order. And I want to speak to some of the realities that are related to depression that research shows. And there's a study called the STAR-D study, and it was published in 2006. And the gist was Prozac, SSRIs, they work great. 70% of people who are on them experience relief in symptoms. This was a very cursory take on the data and the methodology. And what has happened is, subsequent researchers have now analyzed. They've actually had to they actually requested a FOIA, which is Freedom of Information Act, to get at the data so they could analyze it on their own. And what we find here is that there was a very botched research study, which is sadly not surprising to me, because pharma wants to have results that show that pharma makes things happen and again makes a lot of money. I know that sounds so cynical, but I also think it's critically thinking. Anyway, my point is there really is no connection between serotonin, which is the neurotransmitter that has been painted as responsible for depression, basically since Prozac, which is an SSRI, a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It has to do with neural pathways, the synapse, a lot of things that essentially saying that you have low levels of serotonin, a Prozac, and other SSRIs are going to raise the level of serotonin and then you'll be happier. That has been debunked now, actually, by a study that came out in 2022 by Joanna Moncrief. It was an umbrella study, which means they looked at all the other research, even meta-analyses. So all these different studies, put them together in a database to figure out what actually is going on. And the findings have shown that it's not related. Serotonin is not responsible for depression. It's a very simplistic explanation that is not true. And it also works very well for pharmaceutical companies to say, well, low levels of serotonin, here's my pill, give you more serotonin, done and done. In fact, the research showed that while they stated in the STAR*D study that 70% of people would feel relief, it turned out that at the end of 1 year, only 3% of the patients on SSRIs experienced a lasting relief in their depressive symptoms. Also, there's many side effects, low libido, weight gain. I mean, if you're in a relationship and you don't want to have sex with your husband anymore, that's going to cause everyone to feel depressed. So let's talk about that. Suicidal and homicidal ideation, which has been linked to by the FDA in 2004, there's a black box warning for children and adolescents that if you give your kid this SSRI, they're more likely to kill themselves or kill others. Could be related to school shootings. We'll talk about that in another episode. But also, adults can have these same ideation. So there are a lot of reasons to pump the brakes and go, okay, if there's not a chemical imbalance, why am I taking this? If only 3% of the people on them are going to feel better in a year, why am I taking this? If I'm not going to have sex with my husband, if I want to kill myself and others, there's a lot of good reasons to just say maybe not. What is related to depression? And this gets back to the question that we started the episode with, which is the lifestyle realities that we're dealing with.
Right. I saw this thing the other day. And again, I'm sure it's not like we're just like this trite, like, oh, just do this and you'll magically, feel better. But it was interesting. It says, I'm really feeling down these days and I don't know why. And then, have you exercised? No. Did you go outside? No. Did you talk to anyone? No. Did you eat well? No. Did you limit your scrolling time? No. Did you make any plans? No. Did you drink enough water? No. Did you get enough sleep? No. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't, it's a mystery.
Right. Do you have, is that a meme?
Back and forth. It was like a cartoon, these two animals, know.
I love that.
And not that like, oh, do this and it's going to be magic, but like we're saying is just maybe try those things first consistently, because those make a huge difference. Even when and again, I'm not saying like, if you just go take one walk, it's magic. Right. You're going to feel so much better.
Right.
Neither of us are saying that. And we understand some problems are, huge and stuff, but it does make a big difference in just how you feel. Even going out, taking a walk, like when I come back in from walking the dogs, it's like, oh, I feel good.
Right. Endorphins from the movement in and of itself, the vitamin D, which I wanted to talk to you about because you and I have historically been sun phobes. Mm-hmm. And when you come to our house and we're out on the lake, you've seen me for the last 20 years with these long swim shirts. Right. And then as I start doing a deep dive, especially due to COVID, finding that most of the people who struggle with COVID either having a real bad bout of the illness and going into the hospital even, or even death, to a person, they were low in vitamin D. So I've had to rework. I mean, trying to be a lifelong learner. Yeah. I'm reworking now. I'm getting sun exposure.
Yeah. I've taken vitamin D forever.
Right.
Everyone here has. So.
And I speak to that. You're like, everyone in my house, get your D. And I speak to that because vitamin D deficiency does predispose you to depression. And this is according to a study that, again, we will link in the show notes. So that reality, like what you just said, get outside, fresh air, sunlight. Also, you mentioned exercise. In fact, the number one thing we can do to boost our mood, and we know it, is move.
Right.
Movement is medicine, so to speak, even though I don't like the word medicine. But and again, this is research. This is not our opinion. Yeah. But the thing is, people don't want to. It's going to take your to get up off your butt. Like you said, quit scrolling and move.
And that's got to be, I know you have studies on that, but it's obviously, this is not anything earth shattering. It's obvious.
Right.
All the statistics and the percentages are going up for all of these kind of things. And it's obviously linked to social media and the, screen time of women and younger, girls and kids, because you're just, you're just sitting on the screen, you're not moving, you're not doing these other things, you're not getting mm-hmm. sunlight, you're not really having real relationships. You know, you can mm-hmm. you can meet people mm-hmm. and have relationships, but it's different. And the comparison trap, you know, when women are looking on, you know, Instagram and they see Facebook and seeing these posts that aren't, you know, it's all the highlights and it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing anything. This person's, you know, amazing.
The highlight reel.
All this stuff mm-hmm. and they're making $8 million from mm-hmm. their computer and they're telling me that, you know, this guy, and just like all these kind of things, you know, that, and their kids are perfect. And so it does, or, you know, oh, they all got together, I see, and mm-hmm. I didn't get included. Like, even though you think that's like childish, it still has an effect on adults, you know, even if it's just for a minute. Mm-hmm. So like, honestly, like getting off of that, I think would make a huge difference.
And the research supports that as well, because there was a study, I talked about it years ago in the podcast, but it bears repeating for anyone who's newer to the program, that there is a body of literature now in psych called Facebook depression, which mm-hmm. basically, to your point, Miriam, and it's exactly, so the researchers out of the University of Houston found that yes, screen time, certainly social media time, although it's supposed to unite us and connect us, it's actually related with higher levels of depression and anxiety. And they found that the variable at work, the reason is that comparison game.
Right.
And you find that you look at someone else and they just went to Cabo and here I am. And Ohio, which
right, I'm here doing the dishes and not, it's gray outside. And but I think like, again, I think this comes with like knowing yourself and being strong enough to, you know, my daughter who is 20, I mean, this was like probably a year ago, you know, I was like, hey, what, you don't have Instagram, where's your Instagram? You know, it was like gone. I was like, oh, she's trying to block me, but she wouldn't do that. But, I just don't like how it was making me feel.
Yeah.
So I just deleted it. And I was like, oh, you're smarter than like everybody, you know, but it was like, she at least realized that and had mm-hmm. enough strength to just say mm-hmm. like, I don't need it. And, you know, it just wasn't, and whatever, if she chooses to get it again someday, whatever, that's fine. She's an adult, you know, but even like for myself, it's like, I, you know, kind of was off for a while, then I like tiptoe back in, mm-hmm. but I do it very selectively. Mm-hmm. And if there are people that you think, I mean, it's okay to like, then don't follow that person. You know, if it's having an effect on you, you don't have to tell them, you know, I'm unfollowed, you know, whatever it is, but, and just take some days off of it. You know, it mm-hmm. makes a big difference. You can go on mm-hmm. if you want. And I had a guest on my podcast once and she was talking about this, you know, with kids. And she said the worst thing to do, and I always remember this, is just to get on and just scroll. She's like, if you want to get on it, it should be for a purpose. Like, I'm mm-hmm. going to look at this person's, or I want to see this, or, you know, whatever it may be, or I'm going to mm-hmm. post this, or go. But to just mindless scrolling really has an effect on you.
Yeah. And it can be such a barrier to interacting in real life.
Yeah.
And it's, and we know that, so that comparison I was talking about, in real life, we compare ourselves in real life. If I go to a party and I think someone else looks cuter than me, has a cuter dress or something. Thank you. That's why we're besties.
Exactly.
But if I compare myself in the downward position and look up to someone, then I'm going to feel worse. But maybe, again, this is human nature. I'm not proud of it. But if I see someone, I'm like, well, my dress is cuter than hers, then I'll feel better about myself. Here's the interesting thing. Those online comparisons, doesn't matter if you're going up or down, you're going to feel worse. So it's really taking a hit on her self-esteem, which is why your daughter is so wise. And we can say her name. She's been on the podcast, right? Okay. That's why Callie, I didn't want to be like, your daughter, like she, their best friend. She doesn't even know their kid's name. No, I just was trying to anonymity, but whatever. She's so wise beyond her years. Yeah. Good parenting. Kudos to you Ryan. Seriously.
Yeah. It is true. And it's like, and that time that you're just mindlessly scrolling, you could go outside, you could call a friend and have that conversation,
right.
You know, the old phone. Mm-hmm. I found another, it was like a doctor put on the most underused medical tools. And this goes along with what? Fasting, sunlight, sleep, nature, real food, exercise, heat, cold, salt, magnesium, laughter, he says meditation, I would say prayer. All those things. And it's like, oh yeah, I mean, when's the last time you did any of those, you know, had those consistently?
Right. Know? And I want to speak to the nutrition piece that we've talked about. And you and I have been on this just the last couple of years again, just really doing a deep dive into what we understood to be healthy and finding that that's not necessarily the case, sadly. Again, I'm not trying to sound conspiratorial in this sense. I don't know. New research comes out. We, for a long time, in our lifetime, like eggs are good, eggs are bad, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fat is bad.
Butter. And now fat's maybe not. Look now at the fats. Sugar. Look at the calories. Right. Low fat, high fat, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Right. And so it's very confusing for the average person.
Yeah.
What am I actually supposed to eat? And one of the things that I've come across recently and read the book by Dr. Kate Shanahan, and she came on the podcast in episode 264, Eat Better to Feel Better, Eliminate the Hateful Eight with Dr. Kate Shanahan. This is something I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Essentially, the Hateful Eight are seed oils. What mm-hmm. is that? Essentially, vegetable oils, canola oil, corn oil. None of those sound bad. Excuse me. Vegetable sounds good. Sounds healthy. Turns out, lard, which what? As kids growing up in our generation, we'd be like, lard, that's what grandma used when she tried to make everyone fat and she didn't realize she was doing it. No, lard is healthier. Again, listen to the episode if you're curious about this. But here's my point. We are eating things that we think are good for us or good-ish, like pretzels. That's better than a fried Dorito, right? Because that's deep fat fried, blah, blah, blah. Pretzels have seed oils in them, most of them. So things that we think are benign are actually harmful. And bringing it back to depression, there's research that these seed oils have omega-6 fats, linoleic acid. They are found in these seed oils, and that's related to inflammation, which is then related to depression. So eating those whole foods as that bit that you just talked about, it's imperative. It used to be like, I guess I want to eat healthily so I can get into my bikini body.
Right.
But now it's, I don't want to be depressed, so I got to eat better. And when you see it from that way, instead of like, I should eat healthily, when you think of it like, no, I don't want to feel bad physically and emotionally, it's kind of motivating to me, at least.
Definitely. I just wrote an article on the seed oils. I'll send it to you.
Ooh.
And it's funny because, you know, once you notice that, if you read the ingredients, it's in like almost everything. Now, there are some brands and some companies that are, you know, now more than ever you can find, and they're that's their kind of thing, you know, no seed oils, and you can find those things if you look, and they're good, you know, it's good. So, but it's just crazy how you look and it's like everything has that or crazy, you know. And then it is, there has been a shift, and I did read something the other day. It was like, are you looking at labels for the calories or are you looking at the chemicals?
Mm-hmm.
And so, right, we were raised when it was like, oh, you know, you have to look at the calories and you can only, you know, and of course you can look at that too, but it's like, maybe it's low in calories, but look at the ingredient list, all these chemicals you can't pronounce. So what if it's low in calories? So I think it's just a mind shift, you know, and to look at that stuff instead. And I started making, like, you know, my kids always, you know, they laugh at me and stuff, but it's like everything. Like, I make the hummus now, I make the ranch dressing, I make this, and then, you know, because it's actually easy. And then everything that you look at has those in it. So it's like, well, I'm just going to make our own.
Right. And a lot of those foods that you might think, I mean, growing up again, we were like, oh, those dressings have a lot of fat. Well, if you make it with the pure ingredients, it doesn't matter. Your body knows what to do with it.
Right.
So that's the thing too. This whole calorie in, calorie out is such a lie. And Dr. Shanahan talks to that. But it gets you to the point where you're going, wait, I don't have to deprive myself.
Right.
I can actually eat a lot of things that I used to think were off limits, which again gets into this whole shaming of your diet. And we don't want to be about that. But again, if we come at it, instead of like depriving myself of things that I shouldn't have, bad girl, and to going, well, I want to consume this because I know it's nourishing me. It's fortifying my body physically and emotionally.
Yeah. And I know we're kind of, we're still on the topic, but yeah, there's so much we could say about this too, you know, that, but it really does make a difference. And cutting those out, I've really seen a difference. And you know my kids are, you know, some are real on board, you know, maybe some are not as on board, you know, but at least they know, and they you know, they can see that I'm doing it and what I'm buying is different. I'm like, well, these are the chips that are here, so take it or leave it, you know, that kind of thing. And so they'll get, you know, and so like I said, there are a lot of things, but if you start looking, you're gonna have to really rework your whole you know, how you mm-hmm. shop, if you decide that that is something you want to cut out, because it's in almost everything.
It's in almost everything. Yeah. And that's the thing that, again, so when I think about these epidemic levels of depression, or even when people are not as healthy as they should be, I think a lot, I look at people, I'm like, it's not your fault. You don't know. If you, yeah. if you didn't listen to this podcast or read the book, that, how would you know?
Right.
And it's not. And so then, but again, that keeps us all in this mindset of like, well, I'm eating pretty healthily, I think. Yeah. So I guess I do have a chemical imbalance. You're right. It goes back to that default right. mode. And again, the fact that we have pharmaceutical companies being allowed to market to us directly via all the TV ads. I mean, sit down for an hour watching TV. Actually, don't, please. But if you did, how many commercials would be
so many?
Pharma?
Right.
The psoriasis.
Right. Of course, that gets in our minds. So then you go to the doctor and say, I want this. And they give right. it rather than waiting right. to see even if the doctor would even suggest that. But it would right. be great if it was like, hey, our first thing we're going to do for a month or a few months is all these things that we just said. And then we're going to see if that made a difference. And we'll come back and we'll revisit it. And we'll talk about how right. you're doing and how you're feeling. And we'll go from there. Like, again, we're not saying right. like, this is, you know, and one thing is maybe not going to work for everyone. You know, there are different things, obviously, but mm-hmm. I think all we're saying with any time we have these episodes is just like, it's another way to look at something. Just to try it. Read the research. See what you think. You can mm-hmm. say that, you know, you two are just ding-dongs and don't know what you're talking about. That's all right. But, you know, just...
We've been called worse.
I would want to kind of just try everything I could, or research and read everything that mm-hmm. I could about, you know, if I was mm-hmm. going through something like that, and then make the best decision that I can, knowing that I'm very well informed.
Yeah. And I wanted to speak to this because I do think that many people aren't informed about it. Could be the inflammation from those seed oils that you keep eating without even knowing you're eating them. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, I don't eat fried food. But they're in crackers, like
everything.
A Triscuit or something that seems relatively wheat thin. Got to be healthy. Wheat is right. in the word, is in the name. Right. So this is the kind of thing that I think it's worth our time. I hope it's feeling supportive. I hope it's not coming across as shaming, or I just know sometimes things can be received.
Yeah,
in
but
a
we're not
way
in control of that. People are going to take yeah. it how they want, and
yeah,
but I think we've been very genuine about, you know, our intention. Yeah. So
right, exactly. So I guess my point is that if we look at getting back to the initial question that we started with, what's going on with this epidemic? It's multifaceted. There's a lot at work, and the things that people may not realize are things like those seed oils, are things like, hey, we've been told to be careful with the sun because of skin cancer for all these years. Maybe we've gone too far in the other direction. Yeah. That lifestyle, the laptop lifestyle of sitting down a lot. I mean, even get a standing desk. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people like work their treadmill while they're typing, yeah. right? So anything to keep that movement. Let's stack all the factors in our favor. Certainly, of course, as a former therapist, yeah, right. absolutely talk to somebody. And of course, to our point as Christian women, if you think that you're going to have a totally fulfilling and rewarding and deep, meaningful connection to yourself and to others in this life, but you've cut out the spiritual realm,
yeah.
that's also not stacking things in your favor. Because I know in my darkest hours, and I know you talked about grieving your mother and me grieving my father, there is nothing that was more supportive than my relationship with God.
Oh yeah. Like I say it all the time. I don't know how people get through
yeah.
just daily things, you know, without, because, you know, there's some things where, I mean, everything, you just give it to God, but yes, you can talk to God, and just to be mm-hmm. able to say, God, like I mm-hmm. actually cannot deal with this.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I really, and I say that often, like, I really don't know what to yeah. do. I cannot deal with this. I hear. Yeah. And you right. know what? Like, I just, you know, I need your help. I need you to deal with this. Take it from me. And it's just so freeing. And it may not be, it's not like, oh, there's the answer right that second, or the answer I want, you know, but at least it's like, okay, I just keep, you know, you have to keep giving it to him daily, you know, for everything. But, and I just, I don't know what I would do if I couldn't do that.
Yeah. And there's also a ton of research that people who do have a faith mm-hmm. Are able to navigate life's storms in these seasons of sadness and grief and loneliness better. And that's, yeah. again, just that's a research situation. Of course, I believe it
right.
because I've experienced it, and also because that's we feel less alone than someone who's just like, there's this universe that just randomly happened because of a big bang. And I'm just this little collection of cells. It's meaningless, meaningless. And so I think about that verse in the Bible that says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when you were saying a minute ago, like, I just give it to God. God, I can't. On my own strength, I can't. I can't deal with this emotionally. I can't deal with this physically. I can't deal with this in any realm. Mm-hmm. And then you go, I don't have to.
Yeah,
I'm not expected to. And that's so freeing for me as well. I've just felt that very strongly, very poignantly in the last couple months, especially. Miriam, any parting words about lifestyle, depression, what women need to be thinking about?
No, I mean, I think we covered it all with, I mean, to me, it all comes back to my faith, you know, like we talked about, but all of those other things we mentioned to do and incorporate into your life and remove and add, I think can make a huge difference. And I would think we would welcome any questions or comments or like, hey, I tried this or I didn't try this, you know, whatever it is, we would welcome that.
Well, thanks again for joining me, Mayor.
All right. Thank you.
Love and Life is produced by Tim May and hosts and executive producer, Dr. Karen Anderson-Abril.